It is 9:28. We care about mental health here in the morning, and we always try to address that every couple of weeks. And we join our friend, Dr. Judy Ho, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, author of numerous books. You've seen her on television, I'm sure, at one point or the other. How you doing, Dr. Judy?
Hey, Tommy. Good. How are you?
I will be so happy when the election is over. I'm just, man.
You burnout, election burnout.
Are you?
It's a lot, huh?
Yes,
I am. You know, I'm going to vote by mail. I've already filled out my ballot. I'm going to take it to the mailbox today because that's just like one thing off my mind, you know?
Yep.
And
same with me. I'm
I
an early.
I definitely hear you.
Early vote. I'm early vote to get it over with.
Early vote.
So who are you voting
early
for?
Early vote.
Who
exactly.
Are you voting for? I'm just kidding. No, I'm just teasing. But first of all, since I did start that way, let's begin there as we talk about family relations and friendships and election season and everything. Who somebody votes for is absolutely none of your business.
Right.
Accurate.
Right. Yet everybody thinks that it should be your business.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so hard. I was excited when I saw that we were going to talk about this topic today, only because it is so relevant, because it's literally these conversations are happening everywhere. You know, I need to learn how to turn off the notifications on my phone where in the morning I get just like all these pop-ups about the election. It's like a lot, you know, and seeing all the discontent, everybody fighting. And I think it's because it just feels so personal, you know, just your ideological beliefs. It's like when you don't agree with somebody, it's like they think that you're attacking them, you know. But it doesn't have to get that personal, and yet it does because it aligns so much with people's values. It's like a really important part of who people are, and they identify themselves with it.
Talk about, if you will, Dr. Judy, maintaining the peace in a relationship between significant others, husband, wife, husband, wife, whatever. And respecting each other's right to disagree politically and not having to disclose to them. You know, you don't want secrets between couples, but there are some things that people are allowed to keep to themselves, right?
Exactly. And I think that part of the issue when we are with close family members, friends, is part of the way that these conversations go is that even if you don't want to admit it to yourself, generally, there's at least one person who's trying to get you to come to their side. You know, they want you to agree with them. And it's like, if they don't accomplish that, then they feel like they failed somehow and like this wasn't a good conversation. But I think we need to take a step back. And if we're going to have these conversations, even with people who we're in close relationship with, instead of trying to convince them to change their minds, which honestly, they're just not going to, right? 99% of the time, they've thought about their beliefs long and hard, and that's why they're their beliefs. But it's more about seeking to understand, because I think the human mind is always trying to categorize. It's always like a us versus them type of a thing, right? And sometimes it can go okay, and other times, you know, it can really sow discontent. It can make you feel really bad about yourself. And so I think that instead of attacking the other side and making assumptions about why they might have the beliefs that they do, if you have a conversation with an attitude of curiosity and you're just like, well, okay, tell me a little bit more about why you think that way or why you support this candidate, but you're not trying to find holes in their argument. You're just trying to understand them. I think that actually improves relationships because they may support the candidate for reasons that you don't even know. And maybe there's something that you're not seeing. And then you don't have to assume, well, this person is just stupid. How could they think this? You know, this is what happens sometimes when we have these conversations that we make a lot of assumptions that aren't true.
What I think is so sad about this is that friendships get destroyed, families break up, relationships get destroyed. When, in my opinion, Dr. Judy, they're all full of crap. The politicians is what I'm saying. They're all full of crap. And then you got personal
right.
relationships that suffer as a result of this. What is it about a campaign or is it about people wanting to be able to predict the future? Is it about them thinking an egocentric thing, thinking that they think that they know what's better for everybody? What's happening within ourselves as we people that get all fired up about their candidate one way or the other? Is it really about patriotism or is it something more personal in that?
way more personal, and you made a lot of good points. You know, people just want to win, right? People love winning. I mean, I would sure love to win. The Niners aren't doing so well, but hey, you know, that's just how it is.
You're preaching to the choir on that one, sister.
I was thinking about you. Yeah, but, you know, I mean, listen, all human beings, they want to win. That's like a thing that we have a competitive spirit for the most part. And then on top of that, you know, it's not so much about the politicians. I mean, what do we know about them? Like you said, you know, there's a little bit of a smoke screen for all of them, right? There's a public persona that they're presenting that you're buying into. It's not really about the politician. It really is much more personal than that. For people, it's sort of like, look, if you don't agree with me, that means you don't love me. If you don't agree with this, it means that we have nothing to talk about, because there's no way we think the same on these things that I really value. If you keep holding to your side and saying, I'm not going to change my mind, you know, people then make it about them. Oh, well, what is it about me that you won't change your mind for me, right? Everybody personalizes this. And the politicians are really just the stand-ins for whatever underlying resentment you might have towards a person, whatever conflict you may have already had in a relationship. It kind of just brings it all to the forefront, right? But then you get to use this politician as an excuse for why you're fighting, when maybe there's more underlying things, either from your own past or from your relationship with this person, that actually needs to be addressed.
So on the surface, it might be about Donald Trump v. Kamala Harris, but really, when you get right down to it, there's a lot more going on. Accurate?
Way more. Exactly. Very accurate.
Somebody texted in and said, there's no way a relationship works with two different ideologies. Let me take a break. We can pick it up from there. We come back, Dr. Judy. How can a liberal and a conservative get along? I think I would rather be with somebody that disagrees with me respectfully and has a different point of view, because they might be able to teach me something or enlighten me, as opposed to, you know, the dreaded echo chamber that we all talk about, but instead of it be like in a house. I couldn't do that. 9:36, 24 till 10, traffic now, WWL. At 9:41, 19 till 10, please, for the love of God, don't break up a relationship. Don't break up a friendship. Don't break up anything because of this election. I hate to say nonsense, Dr. Judy. The future of the country is not nonsense. The government is not nonsense. But to think, and it goes to, you know, we always have the political conversations about people get so spun up about president. But if your garbage doesn't get picked up, call the White House and see what they can do for you. It's your city council person, and people tend to ignore what means the most to them, right? Like if you drop a pebble in a pond, the circle that's closest to them. So conversely, when it comes to knowing what's important and what's not, Don't get so revved up that you destroy something that you wish you had after the election's over. With that being said, let's talk about different ideologies coexisting, getting along, and being able to discuss things, or I hate to say fighting fairly because it makes it contentious, but being able to discuss things rationally and as grown-ups.
Right, yeah. You know, I really thought what you said right before the break was so important. We do tend to get into an echo chamber, you know, and I definitely do not want yes people around me all the time. You know, it can be hard sometimes to hear a different opinion. You would love it for everyone to agree with you, because guess what? That's validating for you. It kind of builds your own self-esteem, like, ha-ha, I'm right. But you know what? This is how people never grow. You know, if you just have the same people around you saying, yes, everything is great, everything is wonderful. It's like, is it though? Is it really wonderful? So I will say that, you know, my husband and I, especially over the last few years, I feel like we've definitely diverged a bit more in our political beliefs. So I don't think we're voting for the same candidate. I actually haven't asked him who he's voting for. And I'm okay with that. You know, we've had our conversations. We've agreed to disagree. Sometimes it's gotten definitely a bit fiery. And once I decided, you know what, like, I'm going to try to take my own advice. And I'm going to try to talk to him and try to understand where he's coming from and why he has the belief that he does. I still don't agree with him, but I do think that I understand him more and I have more compassion for his point of view. You know, we're not breaking up our relationship over this election. So I do think it's interesting because at first I definitely had that same viewpoint of, oh man, you know, that's too bad that we don't have these same ideas. But actually, when I listened to understand, I actually realized that our values are very similar. It's just the way that we perceive the candidates representing those values, you know, and he's entitled to his own opinion.
And I'm not trying to pry into your relationship, but could there have been something besides the actual election that was underneath all of this?
I mean, I definitely think that my husband and I are both type A individuals.
Yeah.
So we tend to get, I think, in general, you know, we both have very strong points of view. So we definitely have more dissent maybe than other couples do. But I think that probably is the carry through, right? Because we're kind of used to being strong headed and like arguing with one another over certain things. I mean, it can even happen over, you know, how we want to clean up a room. So I think in terms of what's behind it, I think that was probably the starting place. It's like, oh, we're just used to getting into a debate because both of us think we know what's right and what's the best.
You know, as you said,
I had to accept that.
As you said, cleaning up a room, everybody thinks they know the right way to do it, right? And Dr. Judy, look, I might still be married if I realized years ago that I didn't always know the right way to do something or this or that or the other thing. Maybe not. I don't know. But you do learn as you get older. Why does it take so much time for people to realize that they're not always right? They don't always know everything. A peek behind the curtain. When Jordan Fiegel was going to become the producer for me, one of the things I told him was, now, you know, you got to be able to tell me when I'm full of blank, right? Because I want we all need to be told that, don't we?
Yeah, we need somebody who's willing to say that to us, right? And sometimes it can, you know, make a relationship a little bit harder for that day or for that moment. But in the end, it sounds like Jordan's like, hey, but I have an opinion and I think that this might make this conversation better or this segment better. And you value those opinions.
If you can't, if you don't want somebody around you and you're not strong enough and can appreciate somebody to tell you, because we are all full of crap at some point, to tell us when we are, then you're really missing out on it. Go ahead, Dr. Judy, it's your thing. Talk about it.
You definitely, no. I mean, I appreciate your opinion on this because I think it's absolutely true. And that's one of the reasons why I respect you so much, Tommy, because you're not afraid to get constructive criticism. Listen, it can be a little hard to swallow at first, but usually constructive criticism makes me better. And so I welcome it, even if my ego is slightly bruised sometimes when getting it. If you can just take a step back and be like, well, what's the big picture here? And that's what I want people to think about in terms of this election. You know, what is the big picture? Is this relationship valuable to you? I mean, if it's not, then who cares, right? And then you're just arguing for argument's sake. But if the relationship is of value to you, then just take a step back and be like, is there a bigger picture here? And what am I trying to preserve? And if they've hurt your feelings, then be honest about that and have honest communication. But you can also say, you know what, it's getting too heated. So maybe we should just take a step back from these conversations, or we can still talk about it, but let's put some ground rules in place. You know, How do we talk to each other? What is the tone? How long do we want to talk about it? And then maybe after a big political discussion, you just want to do something lighthearted and fun with one another, you know, just to reset the relationship. But if the relationship is of value, then take that big step back and say, what am I really fighting for?
And is the larger issue here about fighting fairly? And what are some of the rules, some of the guidelines, I guess, for couples or even friends to remember if you're going to have a discussion, if you're going to, and again, I said fight. I hate to use that word because it's contentious. But if you're going to have a discussion, what are the rules going in? What should the ground rules be?
Well, I think that if you're going to have this conversation, what you need to tell each other is, look, you know, let's try to remember what we love about each other. Let's each say one thing that we appreciate about each other before we even get into this conversation. And then the ground rules, there's no personal attacks, no name calling, right? No, calling the other person stupid for having the belief that they have. And let's try to approach this with an attitude of curiosity. Let's just try to understand one another. Let's, after, you know, a little bit of a time where you've said something, let me try to paraphrase what I think I heard so that I can be accurate in understanding you. Because oftentimes those misconceptions occur in your perception of what was said. So it's important to take a break, you know, every like minute or so and say, okay, let me make sure I heard you right. You're saying you support this candidate because of A, B, and C. Is that right? And then they can say, yeah, that's right. Or they can say, no, not really. You missed this other point that I said. And then that really helps you to clear up the communication before you get resentful, before you start holding grudges. And I do think that it's helpful to try to put a time limit on it. You don't have to argue about this for 2 hours. Like, oh, let's just have a 30-minute conversation. And when that 30 minutes is up, let's go grab coffee. Let's go do some. Let's go walk around the park. Let's do something to relax and to try to remember why we like each other so much.
You know, as we talk about this, I always tell people when they're looking for career advice, it's you got to have a target because it's hard enough to hit a target. If you're aiming at it, if you don't know what you're aiming at, God bless you trying to hit a target. So from the goal orientation standpoint or being goal oriented, should you go into the discussion ahead of time thinking, well, okay, let's see, what am I really trying to accomplish here? Because if I'm trying to change their mind, I'm not going to do it. Or am I trying to learn more about what they're going to tell me? And if I'm not open to that, why are we even having the discussion?
Exactly. You know, I think sometimes we get into these conversations and we think that, like you said, the goal is to change people's minds. And guess what? You're not. And so if you can just let go of that expectation, everybody will be happier. And also you don't feel like a failure somehow coming out of that conversation thinking, oh man, I never get this accomplished. What's wrong with me? You beat yourself up for it. It's like, look, let's reset what the goal of the conversation is, right? Instead of one person winning, one person losing, or one person finally converting to being a Democrat or being a Republican, what if the goal was just to learn? Like, let me see if I can learn something new. And I will say that I was very resistant at first to, you know, some of what my husband was saying in terms of what his views were. But when I took a step back and I really tried to say, well, what is something that I can maybe learn? I have learned something from his perspective. You know, do I 100% agree with it? No. But do I feel like I understand him better? Yes. And that has improved our relationship.
Somebody texted in and said, you can say you think their opinion is stupid, but don't say they are stupid. I don't think that's accurate at all, because I think whenever you throw stupid in there, then automatically you're kind of insulting somebody. Is there a difference between that, or at least what the person's going to hear?
Yeah, I know what they're trying to say. There's something that we say in psychology of like, hey, look, comment on the behavior, not the person, right? Like, instead of saying something like, hey, you're lazy, you know, say something like, hey, I really have a hard time with you not putting away the dishes every night. You know, like actually comment on the behavior. I think that that's what they're kind of going for. But, you know, throwing the word in, of stupid, that's already a form of name calling. I remember that we used to do this. You know, my mom will say to my sister and I, like, oh, like, well, don't tell each other that you're, you know, don't tell each other that you're stupid, or no name calling. It's like, okay, fine. Like, Judy's not stupid. Judy's just acting stupid. It's like, okay, well, that's still the same thing.
Pretty much on the same territory.
Yeah, it's kind of the same. Right, exactly.
What about raising voices? It seems to me whenever the voices start to go up, then you're losing emotional control. It's becoming emotional, and that no good can come from that. Has anybody ever won anything by raising their voice or accomplished anything, really?
Well, maybe some people think they do, but you really don't, you know. And when people start raising their voice at me, I just get actually, like, opposite, really, really calm, because I can see that they're so dysregulated. So my way of trying to regulate that is just to become even more quiet. So you're really not going to get through to me that way. I mean, I'm just basically like, okay, well, let me just try to disengage, you know. So you don't want to raise your voice. It's not going to get your point across more. And then people are just going to react to what they perceive as that fieriness, right? So I think that that should be a ground rule. You know, I personally really hate it when people start raising their voices in a conversation. So I'll say, okay, well, that's too much. Like, we need to take a break. And you should have a ground rule like that if you're like me, you know, like, hey, you just raise your voice. Let's just take a 5-minute reset and try to come back to this. You know, let's just check our tone, because tone is so important. Tone can really either help or hinder a conversation.
Real quick, before we let you go, to the bigger issue of, you know, the right way to clean a room or the wrong way to clean a room, because after the election is over, the rooms are still going to be there. How do you go about, as a couple, negotiating and realizing that, you know, you're not always right about everything, even though we know my way is the best way?
I know. It takes a little bit of a humbleness to admit that. And I think that you have to just understand we all have egos. It's okay. We all do want to be right. Just admit that to yourself. Mm-hmm. That's all right. But it's just impossible for one person to be right all the time. Nobody is right all the time. So again, just release yourself of those expectations. It's okay to be wrong sometimes because all of us are wrong sometimes.
That person that's next to you, that's going to matter more than the election. I guarantee you that. So take care of it. Thank you, Dr. Judy.
Exactly. Thank you, Tom.
Have a good day. Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. Newell's in studio today, so we're going to see if he sees his shadow and what that means as far as the rest of the fall when we come back here on WWL.